I'm Dr. Sarah, a licensed chiropractor.
And I'm Val, clinical research enthusiast and international board-certified lactation consultant.
We are passionate about helping you navigate women's health and wellness topics naturally.
We bring the information and options
so you can make empowered choices.
This is the Empowered Women podcast. Just a reminder, the information contained in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease or illness or be taken as medical advice. Always check with your healthcare provider for medical advice.
In reference to today's episode, I feel large.
Oh my God. The end is so bad. I feel like you think at like the 6 month mark, you can't possibly get bigger, and then 7 months, and then you're like, I'm going to be pregnant for 40 weeks, 42 weeks, possibly. Like, it's a long haul.
I said to Mike on my drive home today, I said, I look at my app and it says 31 weeks. And in my head, I'm like, there is no way. Like, I feel at least 34 weeks. I am large.
It could just be the second baby. Who knows? I don't know. I felt huge the second time. Just utterly massive towards the end.
From behind, it's not like
as bad.
And I turn around and it's like, oh my Lord.
Yeah.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah.
And I have these wonderful patients that are like, you look great. You look fine.
I mean, your face looks fine. You look fine. You do look good.
But then I have other patients that are real rude, and it's always women.
People just shouldn't. Actually, this is a perfect segue to today's topic. I just don't think people should comment on other people's bodies.
No.
Because, like, even when it is so well-intentioned, or you think it could come off as funny, or like they're not going to care, it's like really upsetting and offensive.
And it depends on like your work environment too. Because like if you work in a small office and you hear like, are you sure it's not twins? Once or twice. Like that's fine. But when you hear it 10 times a day, and I'm not exaggerating, I wish I was exaggerating.
Who says that? Are you sure it's not twins?
Old women. It's always old women. And you know why? Because they weighed 100 pounds when they got pregnant and they were tiny. Because things were different back then.
Oh, it's so funny. So actually, Sarah and I wanted to talk today about a reel she sent me. And there's like so many things that can tie into this, but I think it's super cool because I like to exercise. But what was it called? Muscle mommies. There's like a new trend and it's called muscle mommies. And I don't know, explain, Sarah, what it is.
It's like moms who like, we don't just want to go back to being skinny, right? Like there's a whole wave of people, women in particular, moms in particular, who just want to be strong for their kids.
And they're rejecting the whole thin, be skinny, bounce back. I want to say diet culture, but there's a diet culture also that plays into this too. Because building muscle, having defined abs, getting some of the body composition that these people have, that I just in that reel you sent me, is also problematic as far as diet culture is concerned too. So while I love this concept and I think it's amazing, because I actually think it's far more attainable for people to work on strength and building muscle and just having the best version of your body and not trying to be this like stick thin, like size 00, you know, body types that most of us are never even going to like achieve, right? No. Like even on our best day, like it's just not physically like your build.
No.
you know, I'll never be a Calvin Klein model, you know, not 5'10" and like, you know, 98 pounds. But there's so many pieces to this. And I think I love this because I love exercise and this mindset of not using it to get skinny.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it should be used for other things. But then it's also sometimes if you're going for a certain aesthetic, it's extremely difficult to achieve that without some disordered eating or diet culture involved too. Like, let's say bodybuilding, for example. Like, that is not something that's sustainable very long term or even extremely healthy for people that want to compete at that level, which is not what we're saying. We're not really saying that's what these people want to do, but I think some of the aesthetics of what I saw in that reel wouldn't really be achievable for most people either.
I think it comes down to a few things. Like you just said something that made me think of another person that I follow, and he had posted a video about this person taking a baby and having it in a stroller,
mm-hmm.
and didn't put the lock on, and it started rolling towards traffic.
Oh, cripe.
And the person was overweight and tries to start running, trips and falls because they're like extremely overweight, couldn't get back up, knee gave out. Somebody else like saved her baby from getting like from hitting a freeway. Mm-hmm. And it's like working out. The problem with like this whole every size is beautiful, like big is beautiful, body fat phobic like wave that's happening right now is that just because I want to be in shape doesn't mean I'm fat phobic,
mm-hmm.
because I will think of that video,
mm-hmm.
for a long time because it's not about being skinny.
It's not about being skinny. No, it is about, me. I think when you know, wanting to take care of yourself and be healthy should be a lifelong goal. I don't think everybody was raised in an environment like that. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of pieces that play into this as you become an adult.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have children, you have a responsibility to, you know, be there for them and Ooh. Live your best self life in a healthy way so that you can be there for them long term. And it's not about thinness. It's just about day-to-day life with children actually requires a ridiculous amount of physical activity. Think about how many people throw their back out or don't have enough proper muscle strength, you know, in their backs or legs or glutes to just be bending over and picking up a toddler or squatting or, you know, all of these things. So
there's breaking toys off the floor.
Breaking toys off the floor. I mean, it's like a cardio workout. I mean, I carry the toddler around and I squat down with him and I'm in good shape, like really good shape. And I think to myself, like, this is freaking hard. I am winded, like walking, you know what I mean? Like sometimes walking up the stairs or I'm like, I am tired, like, How do you keep up with your kids? Like if you're not, you know, there's a level of, you know, self-preservation that needs to occur.
Well, and you know, from my point of view, like we do quality of life surveys when people come into the office, when people start having kids, it's no longer about doing yard work or playing mm-hmm. sports, or it's about I can't get on the floor and play with my kid anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then further down the line, it's like grandparents, what's your number one thing you want to do? I want to play with my grandkids,
run around with my grandkids, keep up with my grandkids. And this has nothing to do with aesthetics because I started following there's not a ton of them, body positive, like exercise accounts. So people that are like nutritionists or personal trainers that are like body inclusivity. So like they really, I really love it because they focus on how exercise and overall eating. It doesn't need to be perfect because it's not going to be this day and age. And that's their point. Like when you start to put foods into categories of like good and bad, then you are part of diet culture and you do have an issue. So their whole point is like, you know, there are other benefits to exercise than just wanting to look a certain way. Like think of all the cardiovascular benefits, the benefits to your mood, your serotonin, your dopamine, your mental health, your muscles. Like muscles atrophy so much after like 35. The best thing women can do as they approach 40 is really start lifting. And I mean lifting heavy. I am not talking about like 5-pound dumbbells, ladies. It's not gonna help. Like
You need resistance training.
Yeah. And I love that concept. And I think we do need more of it. But like you're saying, there's a fine line between inclusivity and love every, you know, shape and size and what is physiologically healthy for that person.
I mean, I've worked with hundreds of people in the last 6 years, hundreds of people, hundreds of different body sizes, hundreds of different, you know, stages of acute and chronic illness. And I will tell you that some of the bigger people that I've worked with, some of them were in better shape than I was at some points.
Because healthy. Like people's blood work is healthier. Yeah. So it is up to that person. And I think that's a key point in a lot of these accounts make that point. It's between the person and their physicians. You know, what you see on the outside, you know, it doesn't necessarily equate to like what you might be thinking about that person. You know, they might have amazing cholesterol panels. They might have phenomenal blood pressure. Like there's all types of things that affect people of all different sizes.
And you don't know where they started.
No. And I mean, the whole point is, regardless of where you're at, like any type of activity is going to benefit and be beneficial to your health.
Well, you can see the skinniest person, like for instance, when my husband had a flare up, 119 pounds, he was not healthy.
Yeah. Oh God.
Like, or you see these actresses and actors who just like binge on fast food, like that's not healthy. Flaming Hot Doritos, that's not healthy. Like,
yeah, I think it's really important for moms. Like, I like this whole concept and I like this movement and this shift because the reality is we also live in such, besides a diet culture, like the bounce back culture postpartum, which is super, super, super big. Like it's just such a big deal because what we see and what's portrayed is not really a realistic representation of the pace, the time, everybody's circumstances, you know, that are going to allow people to see something and think, oh, well, why am I still like this? Like, why is my body not like theirs? Why did they bounce back? Like, oh, you know,
15 months to fit into my goal pants.
It's a long haul. Like I think
15 months.
You know, I've heard
and then we can see like, that weekend.
Oh, 6 weeks. Wait, what did you say? Oh, and then you got pregnant again?
That weekend. Yeah. That I fit into my goal pants.
Oh, I fit my goal and now I'm getting pregnant again. I know. But the point is that at least you were like back to a starting point where you were comfortable. Yeah. Like that's what I always think too, you know, at least you're back to a point where you felt like, okay, well, but I mean, it's so unrealistic. Like what we see, you know, I don't know if you saw like Blake Lively just had like a fourth child. And I feel like she was somewhere like weeks after she gave birth. And it was like, was she even pregnant or did they just dress her really well? I'm like, how is that even physically possible? And I do see images of women and accounts that you follow where people, it's like, holy crap. Like, how did they not like just have a baby? Like,
that's the rumor that Posh Spice or Victoria Beckham would just go in for tummy tucks as soon as she delivered a baby.
Yeah, and who knows? We don't really know what's happening, right? Yeah. And, like, maybe – I think some people – I think, one, it really depends on your genetics.
Mm-hmm.
I think genetics plays a big piece in how you carry, in your birth, in your, you know, your postpartum.
Well, the reality is like, that first year of being a mom, like,
yeah,
are you sleeping?
Yeah, that's, you know, I wanted to touch on a lot of that too. A lot of it's just not realistic because physiologically what needs to happen for you to lose weight is really, really difficult. Like
out of reach.
And I'm gonna say like the 12 to 18 months. I really am. I think the first time for me, it was a lot different. It was a lot easier. It was faster. I also gained half the amount of weight. Mm-hmm. So I keep blaming the fact that I'm older and there's other circumstances. Then I'm like, well, it double the amount of weight is double the amount of pounds. I mean, it is what it is. So it's like, you know, you have to think to yourself, there's so many different factors. You need such good quality rest and sleep for your hormones to function properly for proper weight loss. And like, that's not happening the first year or two usually.
Not, and especially if you have a toddler too. So like, not like I have a patient right now who has a newborn and a toddler that's probably 6 months older than our boys.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, if the baby slept one night, his toddler didn't sleep the next mm-hmm. night. And yeah. they were just never sleeping.
Yeah. Yep.
And that makes a big difference between bouncing back from one to two.
It makes a huge difference. I mean, there was I ended up getting, seeking professional help the second time because I was blown away by the fact that I'm still not where I was.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was at a level of fitness and a size after Bianca that was a million, before I had Jude, that was way more in shape than before I had Bianca. And I was in decent shape when I had her. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why is this happening? Like, why is this taking so long? And, you know, there was a variety of reasons, but I think that we have to give moms grace. Mm-hmm. I think we have to give moms permission to actually have a postpartum period is not 6 weeks. It's not 12 weeks. Like, everyone's like, oh, after 6 weeks, like, you know, you'll start to get your body back. Huh?
No, you don't.
I'm like, huh? Or 12 weeks. I'm like, no. Like, and then think about people that are going back. You're going back to work at mm-hmm. either 4 weeks, 6 weeks, or 12 weeks. You're stressed.
You have to juggle an entire new schedule.
You're not sleeping. And I think there's a big misconception that if you breastfeed, the weight is just going to melt off.
Ugh.
And everybody's experience is different with that. There are so many, again, factors that play into it. And that's not the case for some people. It is the case for other people. And I can tell you, like, I've had two different babies and I've had two completely different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And I exclusively breastfed both of them. You know what I mean? And I'm like, what the heck is happening? Like, this time I'm having the same problem that other moms complain they have.
Well, I think, like, a big disservice that we do for women, and I just talked to somebody about this today, was like, she's having thyroid issues and her endocrinologist literally said to her, well, your genetics and your age.
Oh my God. It's so bad. Why do we keep doing that to people?
It's like, how is that the answer for everything? Like, are we not fed up with the fact that, like, our age is the end all be all?
Well, for, it's like, just a number. And I understand metabolism can slow as you age. And yes, muscles atrophy. It's like I said, it's really important.
No one wants to change that.
Mm-hmm. It's also, like, a lot of medical doctors, it's like, there's still a very...
How is this still taught, though? Like,
it's still taught. Calories in versus calories out is still taught. It's still very much alive in the diet world. And you have hardcore people who still insist that it's a simple calories in, calories out equation. And it is not. That science is so dead and so wrong and so old, like so outdated. By like 10 or 15 years, I was reading books over 10 years ago about this. Like, this is not, this needs to stop. There needs to stop being personal trainers and physicians and people in this, in the dietetic space that are continually like, oh, you need to cut calories and burn more. Yes, of course, that's going to help anybody, but it's not always sustainable. Your problem.
Right. You know, I think some of my biggest problems with like the way things are is A, like influencers encouraging the bounce back model, first of all. And then like the look at what I eat in a day.
Yeah.
You can do this too. And it's like, well, yeah, what you're eating looks really attainable, but is it the healthiest version for another person? Maybe.
Yeah, not. That drives me nuts too. Actually, Courtney had said something about that because she didn't want to. She did content that people. This is Courtney Keeping Balanced, everybody. She was on our podcast a while back. But she was saying she doesn't like to share what she eats in a day because it is so specific to everybody and it can be triggering for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And maybe that, then she didn't feel like that was the best content, but people were asking her like, oh, how do you, what does an average day look like for you? I think I actually even asked her that. And she had said, I'm getting this a lot, but I just really don't know that this is like what I should be hearing. She had
an eating disorder.
And which a lot of women have disordered eating.
Right. So it's like, why do we still just focus on food?
Right.
Food is like an obsession for
people. It is an obsession. I think there's...
Well, it comes back to calories in, calories out, right? We've been taught that since we were little.
It's just it's a simple equation and it's thermodynamics and or energetics. And we're just supposed to like go with it because that, like I said, that's very, very old science.
Well, it's like, it's not just about that. It's like, what kind of food are you eating? What are you doing everything possible to take like toxins out of your food? Like those toxins can permanently damage your cells to the point where they don't even die. Mm-hmm. And then we wonder why our bodies won't change.
We're obsessed with food because we think if we see how Sarah eats and she looks a certain way, then what Sarah eats, if I try to eat that way, then maybe I can look like she does. I mean, let's just call a spade. That's what this comes down to. Or if, you know, Val looks a certain way and, well, if I eat like that, then maybe I, like, it's not. Everybody's biochemistry is so incredibly unique. And you, one, have to know what works for you. And I think we've talked about this before. I think even with Melanie from Roots Restored Wellness about how you need to listen to your body and what it's telling you. And when you eat something and it doesn't agree with you, stop trying to force yourself to constantly eat it. Like if something makes you sick or gives you gas or, you know, X, Y, or Z, like, and it's consistent, why are you eating it? Like your body's telling you something.
It's because we also, it's like, it's so backwards, right? Everything in our culture is a double-edged sword because it's like, you want to be, look, feel a certain way, but when you take steps to do it, people shame you for it. Mm-hmm. Why are you cutting dairy out? Mm-hmm. Like all those studies, they don't mean it. They're not real. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, you can't ever win, really.
No, you can't because there's, you know, again, it's like what works for you might not work for somebody else's metabolic makeup and their biochemistry. Like I say that over and over. We all originated in different parts of the world. Our ancestors came from different areas and no two diets are the same, you know, in any area. So like, while it's amazing that some people love a lot of meat, there's also blood types that don't do well with that. Or like, there's an obsession with the blue zones, and the blue zones are super fascinating. And for people that don't know what that is, these people, they're parts of the world where they've been studied extensively for their lifestyle and diet because they have hardly any disease and they live for very long periods of time. And of
like
course,
Asian cultures don't really have cancer.
Right. Of course it's fascinating and we all want to know why, but when it comes down to it, we're so obsessed with the diet and the diet matters, but we know all this and yet we still don't, like a lot of people don't want to implement some of the information, or maybe they find that it doesn't work for them. It also has a lot to do with lifestyle. And when they study the blue zones, they look at all of those things. A lot of these people have very active spiritual practices. Mm-hmm. They're also very physically active, like all of that non-exercise thermogenesis that you're doing. So like all of that non-exercise activity like matters during the day.
Yeah.
Your stress level. These people have very minimal stress levels in these blue zones compared to everywhere else in the world. Like, this is all the stuff, like, nobody wants to think that it matters, but it actually all matters.
I think our biggest downfall is, like, quoting our country to be, like, oh, I just lost the phrase. Something about dreams. The American dream. The American dream, right? The American dream all comes back to, like, fast lifestyle, which brought on the concept of, like, fast food, fast like crop production, go, 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 stress. You go to like any other country in the world and they're like, why the hell are you talking about work on a weekend?
Yeah. Or why do you work 10 hours a day? Why do you work?
Why do you only get 1 week vacation?
Yeah. It's
why do you only get 4 weeks of maternity if that? This is insane. We're like, yes, we know, but no other country will accept us.
The other part about food too is, you know, what's permitted to be in it here.
Oh my God, it's so bad.
So, you know, you were saying like there's this whole obsession with food, and some parts of that are for good reason. You know, not just like the food, like you're saying to consume, which that was your point. Like we're obsessed with like, you know, the eating piece of it, but you can't just like go get like, you know, something to eat and not have it overload it with just like chemicals and toxins and food dyes and like endocrine disruptors and
or like things that you convince yourself are okay. It's like, yeah, my cheat meal is Chick-fil-A. Everybody's cheat meal at my office is Chick-fil-A because it's so close to our office.
It's like it's yeah.
I can see it. I can smell it during lunch, but it's like you can't have a cheat day every other day. Like that's not cheating. That's a habit.
It's a lifestyle. Yeah.
Yeah. But like we do this thing where we convince ourselves that we're doing right to feel better, but it's like we're our own worst enemies. We are our own worst enemies, and then so is social media at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Comparison syndrome.
There's a lot of stuff in the food that makes it very addictive, too.
Oh, yeah. What was it I saw in the UK, speaking of, like, additives, for McDonald's French fries, there are three ingredients.
Uh-huh.
Potatoes, oils, and salt. Oil and salt. In America, 17.
Mm-hmm.
17.
That's like that's even in like M&M's, like the candy. You should look at the candy even. I mean, that's a perfect example. Like, oh, like go pick up a pack of peanut M&M's. Like completely different if you look at what's in.
Or like Mexican Coca-Cola compared to American Coca-Cola. They use real
sugar. Mm-hmm.
And it tastes better. Apparently, I've never had it.
Oh, yeah. Chris loves to get the glass containers whenever anybody sells those because It's so much better. It tastes so much better than the high fructose corn syrup.
Did you hear what they're doing in Portland? Side note.
No, I haven't.
Or Oregon. Because you can do any drug, Coke is debating on putting cocaine back in Coca-Cola.
Oh my God, please. Why?
I don't know. If this is a rumor, please tell me it is a rumor because I am like beside myself.
Is that real news?
Is any of it real anymore?
I don't even know. We're living in like a matrix. Well, literally we are.
We are living in the matrix. So what would you say your top three things are for postpartum? And then I'll give my top three things.
Like top three tips?
To like not fall into comparison syndrome. Right. And what do you really think as far as like the muscle mommy movement or like the bounce back movement, like how to fight against those things?
Yeah, I mean, I love the whole muscle mommy idea. I think you shouldn't be a muscle mommy until you're physically like ready to get back there, which is not a week after postpartum. I've seen like CrossFitters on, you know, a bike a week postpartum holding their baby.
I can't even imagine.
I'm like looking at this and I'm like, this is so, I understand like that's awesome and you're training at that level, but this is not like what people like
women. I could not do that and I'm a normal
prepare
person.
Themselves to that. How tired were you? Like, I think women need to give themselves the space to postpartum, and I think you need to take care of yourself and realize that fitness that first year or two is going to be a journey and it shouldn't be rushed. Mm-hmm. And you should make sure you take it slow and focus on like what feels good to you. So some of us can't wait to move and that's great, but you need to do it within like healthy limits. So like not pushing yourself to like exhaustion because you're already tired, right. Making sure your pelvic floor and your core are healed and that they're firing properly, because I'm telling you that's not going to happen even if you're the strongest person in the world. If you've been pregnant, like it, you need to be rehabbing it.
That was my first thing was do not clear yourself for exercise until a pelvic floor physical therapist clears you, not your OBGYN, but a pelvic floor physical therapist.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. There are people out there who are doing stretching and breathing and core engagement exercises at a week.
Mm-hmm. And you can start small. Yeah. You can start small things if you know what you're doing. Yeah. Or you're working with someone. Yes. And you can definitely do that stuff and get some light movement, and people like to start walking. But like, I think you just need to give yourself the stop. Mm-hmm. We need to stop rushing.
Right.
We need to stop rushing. Like, enjoy your baby.
Stop feeling like you're behind the eight ball.
Yeah. Nourish yourself, mind, body, and soul. And if you want to get in movement and exercise, just make sure you're doing it safely within your level of fitness, which is going to look different for everybody. I totally understand that.
And if you don't work in this space, don't make that decision for yourself. But honestly, like you have 5,000 other decisions to make for this new baby. Seek professional help.
Mm-hmm.
So that you do not hurt yourself. Mm-hmm. And then you cannot take care of a new baby.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have an internal injury that you don't know anything about.
Yeah.
Like, seek professional help first.
Yeah, I would say take care of yourself. Let yourself postpartum. Obviously, that's the biggest one. Stop comparing yourself, which is so hard to do. I think that's like my second biggest thing is you got to just shut it down. Mm-hmm. Like, don't look at the TikTok. Don't look at the Instagram. Don't look at the Facebook. Try not to like look around at other people because it can be very overwhelming and be like, why do I look like this?
Because you're 1 week postpartum, darling. Yeah.
And you're not, yeah, I think the comparison, like you said, comparisonitis is like so, It's just a thing. It really is.
I guess, like, and also with comparison, you got to think of like how your pregnancy was. If you were working out throughout your entire pregnancy and you were lifting and you just like rolled into delivery in the best shape of your life, of course you're going to look like great in those high-waisted mesh panties. But guess what? A lot of us have liver issues or gallbladder issues or blood pressure issues. And you, there is an innate fear to like doing hard workouts before labor, and that's okay.
Yeah. And you don't have to kill yourself either. I think there's this misconception too, that you got to be like hardcore or crazy, right? Or people lose the motivation then to do anything. Yeah. This is the third thing. I mean, I think go at your own pace. That's my biggest thing is just go at your own pace and do what feels right. Even people that are like super fit or really into exercise, sometimes they don't even feel like working out like that first year. I've heard that from lots of like people that I've listened to or like read online or follow their accounts. Like, it's just not a priority, and it becomes a priority again at some point, and maybe in a different fashion. Like,
mine was like very hit or miss. Like, I would go spurts of weeks of like, this is amazing, and then I didn't want to.
Yeah.
I barely wanted to be touched by Mike, let alone like,
yeah,
do anything. If, especially if Eli had like a sleep regression, it was just like, nope, I don't have it in me.
I think I was definitely gentler on myself the second time. The first time I was very much in panic mode because I think I had a baby and I was like, whoa, okay. I didn't realize this is what like postpartum body looks like.
I was I distinctly remember being like, why do none of my pants fit?
Well, it's really, Bianca was like in the birth canal and I looked at my stomach and it was soft because the baby wasn't in there anymore. She's like about to come out. And I looked at my doula and I'm like, I was like, why? What? She's like, the baby. There anymore, and I'm like, what the fuck is this?
What am I supposed to do with this?
This giant like soft belly thing, and like, what is this? What happens? And then you're like, oh, it'll probably just go away. And I'm like,
it doesn't just go away.
It's not even about fitting in a certain thing or hitting a certain number on the scale, because like, you'll hit the number on the scale maybe, but your body shape might not be the same. I remember losing all the baby weight with Bianca really quickly, and I tried to put my jeans on and they wouldn't button. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what?
It's like, it's not even just hips, right? Like, what was the first thing you said to me when we got on our call last week?
I don't remember.
You were like, I saw a picture of you on Instagram.
Oh yeah. Your
boobs got huge. And I was like, yeah, I don't think any of my shirts will ever fit me again.
No, they will. Trust me, they will. My boobs got so big the second time, and they you'll be fine. Your stuff will fit again.
I was like, I'm like looking at some of my t-shirts from undergrad and I'm like, there's not a chance.
I mean, I don't know. What other takeaways do you have or advice for people?
My biggest one was like taking your time, seeking professional health, and like the awareness of what you're eating more so than anything.
Right. I think it does have a lot to do with quality.
Yep.
And you know, you're busy and sometimes you don't plan for the craziness, and moms aren't nourishing themselves the way they need to be nourished because they can't, or they don't have the time, or it takes a lot of effort, you know, and they're tired. So it's like, I think like planning nutrition wise is super important.
Especially, I mean, like a lot of people are essentially, you know, out of a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Planning your meals, mm-hmm. getting nutrient dense meals and being able to budget that out will save you from doing like fast track nutrition, essentially. If you can even call fast food nutrition.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, while I love this Muscle Mommy movement, I think it's badass. I'm here for it. I really am here for it.
I'm here for it if you do it safely.
Yeah, I think it's more attainable than like looking like a supermodel. But I also want people to like take it with a grain of salt at your own pace and don't fall into diet culture traps with that as well.
So, and if you weren't a muscle fit, look at me person, not look at me person. If you weren't a super fit person to begin with, don't expect to be a muscle mommy within 3 months. Like that shit took, a long time.
It takes time. It does.
And the bounce back from that is easier for someone that's been working out for years.
Mm-hmm.
So give yourself grace.
Yeah. So love yourselves, ladies. Be muscle mommies if you want. Don't be muscle mommies if you want. Take care of your mind, body, and soul the best that you can. Nurture yourself.
If you want to really take care of yourself, those would be the top three things. And I think like Val and I had them in our heads without even talking to each other.
Yeah.
Perfect.
All right. Well, that was, I like that topic.
We will see y'all next week.
All right. Bye, Sarah.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to hear more like it, make sure you subscribe to the Empowered Women Pod and rate us 5 stars. Please feel free to also write a review on the podcast. It really does help to spread the Empowered Women message, and it moves us up in the podcast rankings. Plus, we love to hear from our listeners. You can follow us on Instagram at Empowered Women Pod, or if you have a question and want to reach out to Val or I, you can email us at empoweredwomenpod@icloud.com.